The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. Make straight a path in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, the Lord is at hand. That is the message of Advent. The Lord is coming. He is near. Soon, oh, very soon, it will be joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room in heaven and nature sing. Yes, it will soon be Christmas. The celebration of the Nativity and the coming of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But will people celebrate that? Will they truly celebrate Christmas, or will it be something else? They will neither be preparing an Advent, therefore they will not also be observing Christmas. Too many will ask the question, is this he who should come? Or shall we look for another? And there is a great host and multitude who says, oh no, this is not the King. This is not the Lord. This is not the only begotten. This is not the Savior of the world. This is a man-child of great interest. This is the coming, the beginning of a man of great influence. This is a Christ indeed, the revolutionary Christ, the sociological Christ, the philosophical Christ, the teaching Christ, but not he who should come, not the Christ of God. You know that. The multitudes, the numbers of those who observe Christmas thus is growing. What shall we say and what shall we do? It is particularly important for us as children of our Heavenly Father, as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as messengers, and particularly as messengers who are soon to begin the active and special work of ministry, that we understand. First for ourselves, and then for those to whom we give witness. You know, it's not exactly much different today than it was in the days of our Lord himself. For we see in the gospel of this week that the disciples of John had that same problem. And it is interesting to see how John dealt with that problem. We can understand why the disciples of John were disillusioned. They had followed John. They heard the message of John. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Arise, be baptized. They heard John say, as he pointed to Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And they were looking forward to this Jesus. They were looking forward to this King coming into his kingdom. But then things didn't happen exactly as they thought it should. They were wondering, as people always wonder. They were beginning to be skeptical, as people always are so readily inclined to be skeptical. And then it happened. Their beloved Master John was thrown into prison. There in the dungeon of Herod's castle, there he lay. He couldn't really communicate with them to any great extent. Now, is this the king? Is this Jesus the king? Didn't John say he was establishing the kingdom? Ah, they forgot, they mistook. What kingdom? No doubt in their minds, the vision of the kingdom was a temporal kingdom, a kind of a re-establishment of the kingdom of David and of Israel. Freedom from the Romans, and a whole lot of other things. Now, if this is the king, why in the world has he let his chief messenger, his chief witness, his chief follower, John, lie there in the dungeon? Why doesn't Christ come with his power and break open the doors of the dungeon and release him and show that he is king? Truly, this must not be the one. John is a wise witness. May we always be as wise as he. May the Spirit of God who guided him always guide us, that we witness aright. John couldn't, there in the dungeon, go into a long dissertation about Jesus. So he said, and that is a wise move, go to Jesus. Go to him. Be confronted and confront him. Ask him, are you the one? Who is to come, or should we look for another? Do that. And they did. They were confronted by Jesus. And the answer was given to them. Jesus told them, look, as was prophesied, the lame walk, the deaf speak, blind see, the crippled are healed, the dead arise, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, Jesus said, I am here, behold me, see my works, and know that I fulfill every prophecy. Truly, I am he who should come, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. You know, today, and we do not speak now of those who have given up their right, really, to be witnesses and messengers, those hirelings and false prophets who have embraced all sorts of ideologies and theologies and sociologies and what other ologies there may be, who have said, oh, we must conform to this world if we want to influence people. Influence people for what, in heaven's name? For a Christ who is not a Christ? So I say we speak not of them. We speak of you and of the faithful Christians. And you know something? We're in a sort of a dungeon with the world, aren't we? The world looks down upon the ministry. More and more it is being ridiculed. More and more you find that people say, well, the influence of the ministry and of the church is, it's a thing of the past. You hear people talking about the post-Christian era. You know what I'm saying. Our witness is important, though. It is important for us, first of all, but for the people to whom we witness. And there is no other way that we can witness better than doing just what John did. Confront the people with Christ. In the pure and beautiful gospel and in the sacraments, unchanged and unchanging. We need to bring people to Jesus. As we ourselves are face to face with him, we need in this precious word of his to let them see that this is truly the Lamb of God sacrificed on Calvary. buried in the tomb of Joseph, risen on the third day, lives and reigns to all eternity, and who again shall come in the clouds of heaven, sitting upon the throne of his glory, when that great moment of time shall come. Yes, we need to bring people to the precious gospel, that they see and feel the power of Jesus. We need to ask them to let down all of their prejudices, to open their hearts through penitence and through openness, and let the power of the Spirit witness to them that they behold Jesus as he is truly, the Son of God, the Savior, the precious Savior of the world. That they see truly the Lord is come. He is here. In the Word and in the sacrament, this morning we have a privilege that is a high and a holy one, the privilege of confrontation, as there is none other anywhere. And you know what that privilege is? To be absolutely face to face with Jesus in all of his mercy and his kindness and his forgiving love. For as we receive the bread and the wine, the Lord Jesus says, "This is my body given, my blood shed. I am here. I am with you. I am in you. Believe that. Your sins are forgiven." Friend, you feel the power of his love. You are face to face with Jesus, and Jesus is with you and in you. And you know, there is no question, Jesus is indeed he who is to come. He is the one who is the Savior of the world. How wonderful that is. And then you can go forward also to be the light and the witness to all the world. And do not worry how the world regards you. For Jesus said of John, who looked so unworthy and so unbecoming a witness of the king there in the dungeon, he said, "This is the greatest of woman born, the greatest man who ever lived, greater than a prophet." And so is everyone who, with Jesus, is witnessing faithfully unto Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so, friend, come. Come, face Jesus, receive him, and shout for joy. Joy, joy, joy. The Lord indeed has come. Amen.